Hey, gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. I'm your host, Patrick Slattery. I will be taking calls this hour. The number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Well, we have lots going on. We have the continuing saga of men being bad. It was a Jew thing, and now it's a man thing. They've rebranded it. Harvey Weinstein, I mean, that was the Hollywood casting couch. Who runs Hollywood? We know who runs Hollywood. Who did the Jews say runs Hollywood? Who did Ben Stein say runs Hollywood? Who did Joel Stein say runs Hollywood? Who does Steven Steinlight say runs Hollywood? The Jews run Hollywood. And this was rampant in Hollywood, rampant in the Jewish-owned media. And what did the Tablet magazine say about Harvey Weinstein? They talked about the particularly Jewy nature of his perviness. And, of course, yesterday we had Matt Lauer. We had Garrison. What's this guy's name at NPR? Garrison Keillor or whatever his name, Garrison something. Now, in his case, sounds like nothing. He's not Jewish. Sounds like they want to try to throw in a goyim for every Jew that gets caught. Of course, Matt Lauer is half Jewish. His father is Jewish. His mother wasn't. And you got Conyers. Now, Nancy Pelosi, who was calling him an icon just a couple of days ago, as if that should matter, is calling on him to resign. My problem with the whole thing is this has become, you know, it's become a man thing, even though, you know, half the people who are getting called out are Jews, and some people are saying, great, we're getting rid of some of these Jews. Well, so what? We're not getting rid of Jewish power. We're not getting rid of Jewish control. They're throwing out, you know, some of these creepy people are getting exposed, and then they're throwing in some creepy goyim. Like, I mean, I don't think Garrison was creepy. Some people don't like the idea of Judge Moore looking for, you know, scouting for a wife among teenagers, but that was something that was done throughout most of our history. I guess Charlie Rose is creepy, and although he hasn't been called out for it yet, Joe Biden, I mean, anything that Charlie Rose was accused of, Joe Biden has been accused of by his Secret Service agents. It hasn't become a scandal yet, but, you know, Uncle Joe, gropey, creepy Uncle Joe. But I don't see it as being a victory to have some Hollywood Jews and some Hollywood goyim and some liberals like Joe Biden or Charlie Rose or some, or a Jewish senator like Al Franken or Conyers, black chairman of, what is it? Is he the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee? He's chairman of one of the powerful committees. That to me is not really a victory because it's not changing the underlying calculus. Harvey Weinstein was an example of, I mean, you could look at it as an example of male predation, predation on females by powerful males. But it was, you could also look at it like Tablet Magazine looked at it as Jewish revenge seeking against the goyim for their crimes, whether they be real or imagined. And that goes beyond sexual predation. That goes to destroying our society. That goes to importing a replacement population for us. This is what they're doing, replacement immigration. And that's the way the Harvey Weinstein scandal needed to spread. It needed to spread along that dimension. I was trying to think whether that would be horizontal or vertical or front and back, left and right. It needed to spread along that dimension, the dimension of Jewish abuse of power, Jewish malfeasance, Jewish animosity and hostility towards the white European people. That's the dimension it needed to spread on. So I don't care if Matt Lauer is Jewish or if Conyers is somebody that we'd like to see the end of. That is a very hollow victory as far as I'm concerned. We have to keep the focus on this Jewish malfeasance. Now, it's very interesting. Let's look at the way the media works, okay? President Trump retweeted, as you all heard yesterday, he retweeted tweets from a British nationalist organization. One featured a what seemed to be a Muslim migrant physically abusing a Dutch young man on crutches. Okay. One showed, it would have been from the Middle East, it showed what one would presume would be ISIS people throwing somebody off a roof. Was that a gay person? Was it a Christian? Was it just some other enemy? But throwing somebody off the roof. There was another one in there. I don't think I saw the other video, but there are these three videos or tweets that were retweeted, and Donald Trump was referring to the real threat that we're under. And he came under attack. That was racist. It's racist to show Muslims committing violence. It's racist because you're not allowed to talk about people being violent if they are from a protected minority. Excuse me. And I saw the PBS NewsHour, and Judy Woodruff had on some representative of the Muslim community, a white convert. He was from Northern Virginia. It was some very large mosque. I think it was described as the second largest mosque in America. Very large mosque in the Dulles Airport area. Dulles Airport being the international airport in Northern Virginia that serves Washington, D.C. And apparently there's a very large mosque there, and there was some Caucasian American representative from there. And they also had on Jeff Greenblatt, the Abe Foxman's successor as head of the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. And they were both just talking in bumper stickers and slogans and platitudes and saying, well, you know, whether or not these videos were true, whether or not they were depicting the truth. And, you know, we know this stuff goes on all the time. Maybe it was true, but it's still racist. And Trump is bringing us down instead of bringing us together and all of this stuff. And so it was racist for Trump to do it. Meantime, you know, you look at local news. It almost never reaches national news, but local news where you've got, you know, you look at Colin Flaherty's YouTube channel. You've got just every day he's putting up video after video after video from local news or from YouTube, but it's black abuse against whites or others. Just black mob violence, black hostility, black crime. And yet, while the local news cannot avoid those stories, they obfuscate the stories by refusing to point out that there's a trend, that it's black on white, or black on other groups, but certainly there's a huge black on white element there. They won't do it. They'll have a black reporter sent out to cover it, who says, oh, well, we don't really know why this is happening, or we don't know the motive, or they'll have a black anchor person. The local news crews tend to be almost as black as TV commercials, which means, you know, about one out of three people on local news is going to be black. About one out of three people, roughly, that you see in TV commercials seems to be black, even though the black population of the United States is about maybe one out of eight people is black. But they're certainly way overrepresented. And they are members of the, I think it's called the Black Journalists Association of America. There's some industry association. And, so, you know, so it is racist for Trump to point out that the people committing incredible violence are Muslims. It's racist to point out that that black criminals are black and that white victims are white. That's racist to point out. And yet, there's white privilege that's talked about all the time, white racism that, as Colin Flaherty says, that explains everything. And so you have this incredible double standard. Well, we have a call from Paul from New Jersey, and I know he's got a lot of intelligent observations to make. So, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick.
What would you like to address today?
Well, I want to talk first of all about the faux patriots out there. For one, you know, you see a lot of these talk show types out there, and they're always saying, oh, you can't be divisive, you can't be divisive, like we're really supposed to unite with blacks. And yet, you know, feel free, any of you people want to unite with blacks, you know, you can get really cheap housing in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you can, instead of being a hypocrite living in your all-white citadel, you can move into a black neighborhood and prove that you really want to unite.
Right.
It kind of burns me up, especially on the Patriot right, because you ever hear that saying by David Frost, is a liberal is someone who won't take his own side in an argument.
David Frost, the talk show host, the British talk show host?
Oh, no, I mean it was the poet Robert Frost, my mistake.
Oh, Robert Frost, okay.
Yeah, but it is such a true thing that, and it's like pulling teeth with these so-called patriots, and you see it in the Republican Party. You see all these pundits constantly sucking up to blacks, overlooking the black crime wave, overlooking the thousands of white victims, thinking if they pander to blacks, someday you're going to get them to vote for Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are treacherous little worms. And that includes you, Alex Jones. Right. Mm-hmm. But I know he's not listening.
I doubt he listens to the show yet, but we do have our listeners. We have our audience. We have a good audience.
Well, much smarter than the Alex Jones audience, I think, who are being led, and again, by the Patriot movement. I noticed that on Savage and other talk shows that, you know, they're whipping them all into a frenzy over North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't see why white people should go be involving themselves in Asia at all.
Mm-hmm.
When China is a superpower and South Korea has twice the population of North Korea and 20 times the gross domestic product.
And they have a domestic nuclear power industry. They have rockets. They have a base on Jeju Island, and they can launch rockets into the satellite. They have all the technology. And, of course, Japan has even more so, you know, nuclear reprocessing technology. They have a huge industry, which they had to shut down, but they still, after Fukushima, but they still have, and it's starting up again, but they've got all of the resources. North Korea is surrounded by huge, powerful countries. We don't need to be there to protect these huge, powerful countries. North Korea, they're not suicidal. They have a very, very strange system. I'm not I'm not going to defend their system. I will defend their art. Their music is wonderful, and I use it for my bumper music. I use it partly just because I don't expect them to come after me for copyright infringement the way the Jewish lawyers came after Don Black for using a Johnny Cash song. Mm-hmm. That's why I use it. But
yeah,
you're absolutely right. Why are we over there?
Exactly. But that was one of my concerns about Trump that I discussed with my family member, my brother. And that was Trump really just to get the white Yahoo patriots, and remember, that's the bulk of the U.S. military,
mm-hmm.
to sign up and ultimately die for internationalist globalist causes, you know. And that's one of the horrible things we see about, you know, like you said about capitalism, that, you know, everybody down, you know, the badmouth socialism, and primarily I think in a point to badmouth national socialism and make national socialism sound bad. And yet, here they are willing to die for corporate interests, and corporate interests that are basically working to make whites a minority within their lifetimes. And so this is why they get these mostly white, mostly rural whites with bad, you know, economic prospects,
mm-hmm.
All worked up and now channeled into globalist internationalist causes. And so I urge the white you know, listeners out there, don't fall for the bait. The hell with North Korea. I mean, they worry about, because what, they might have one nuclear missile while we have thousands.
And they're not suicidal. They're not suicidal. Iran's not suicidal.
Right.
I've did a show on North Korea. I think I reposted it on YouTube. You could find it in the RBN archives too. But step one is just ignore them for a while. Step two, have cultural exchange. We can Kim Jong Un likes basketball. Send over Dennis Rodman, some, you know, all stars. They can maybe send over their opera singers because they're very nice. I think we'd get the better end of the deal. And then once you have a little bit of exchange, just like you did with ping pong diplomacy in China, then you can have some negotiations. And you know, it's really, I don't want to be involved over there. I don't think we should be involved over there. But you know, so the negotiations would just be aimed at disengagement, basically. And I hope North and South Korea reunite someday, but that's their business. It's not our business.
Yeah, and, you know, Konrad Lorenz, who is a biologist, he wrote in his book on aggression about how, you know, think of it in nature terms. You know, when you fight a bear, if it's away from its den, it won't fight that much. But when you get near its den, then it puts on a heck of a fight.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's really unnatural for mostly white Americans to go cross the Pacific Ocean. And by the way, think of the expenses and the logistics and the taxes that we'll be paying for this to get involved in a war in North Korea. So let's just hope, you know, let's not fall for the rhetoric, not let these jingoists, now they're jingoists now that Trump is president. If Obama did the same thing, oh, they'd be bloody against it. But let's not fall for these jingoists who proclaim that they're some kind of patriots banging
right.
these war drums. And that's all I wanted to say, Patrick. Thank you.
You want to hang on until after the break?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
That's what you're going to get here as to the best of our ability. So we were talking, Paul, we were talking about North Korea. And it's not like I like the idea of North Korea having the capability of potentially launching a nuclear weapon and hitting the United States. But let's get real. What country that actually has attacked us, that actually does sponsor terrorism like ISIS, has a whole bunch of nuclear weapons, has intercontinental missiles, Jericho intercontinental missiles, has a German-supplied, free of charge in many cases, German-supplied fleet of submarines capable of launching nuclear weapons, has probably the third or fourth largest air force in the world, and has a military doctrine, a doctrine of the Samson option, where if they're facing regime change, they will lash out in all directions. Who might I be talking about?
Oh, that's easy for me. That's Israel. That's and Israel. By the way, they did 9/11. And you got that, Alex Jones? They did 9/11. And why don't you have, they should have some people like, what's the name, Alan Sobrowski, Christopher Bolin on the networks to promote the, a very insightful and correct view that Israel were the main perpetrators of 9/11.
You say main perpetrators. This 9/11 is something I haven't gone into in great detail because I haven't reached a conclusion about it. So much has been obfuscated. There's been so much distraction and misinformation out there. So I haven't reached a conclusion. But so why don't you make the case that Israel was either behind 9/11 or had a large role in it?
Well, for one, you just got to look up Larry Silverstein and who just got all the money and was not at the building on that day. And so it was a form of Jewish lightning that he ends up, putting down just a few hundred million, and then 6 months later walks out with a few billion. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then, so where did he get that foreknowledge? Why did he not go to the World Trade Center that day? And then also, if you read about Odigo's systems, how a Jewish company at the World Trade Center got a warning that day. Even Al Franken, by the way, jokes that he got the Jew call, he calls it, in his book, and that Ed Koch had warned him about not going to Manhattan.
Now, he's a comedian. To what extent was he joking? To what extent might this be serious?
You'd have to ask Al Franken, but it's in his book.
Hmm.
And so he calls it, jokingly or seriously, you know, humor can be a way to hide what you really think. And he says he got the Jew call. And so, and then if you think of all the gatekeepers at the time, the Cheridoffs, the Zelikows, and all the rest, and there is a fellow who's partial Jewish, Alan Sobrowski.
And Cheridoff had dual citizenship. That's pretty well established. He had to have it.
Yeah, and then that's why you should invite Alan Sobrowski of the Army War College. He's partially Jewish himself, and he puts forth a very good case why Israel was the main perpetrator. Now, don't forget, there had to be Gentiles working along with it, okaying it, like the Bush and Cheney, of course. But I think they farmed out the wiring of the explosives and to detonate the buildings. That was wired out probably to an Mossad firm, and they flew them out, you know. And then you had the high fibers. It's just, it reeks of a Jewish conspiracy. And Netanyahu even said that it would benefit it. It benefits Israel. It's good for Israel.
Mm-hmm. He said that. He was in between. He was a former prime minister at the time, became prime minister again some years later. But he did say that on U.S. national TV, probably on, was it the day after 9/11? It was immediately.
I think
after,
so.
Saying
yeah, I think so.
It was, you know, what do you think? What was the exact question? What do you think of 9/11? And he said something like, "Well, it's good. Well, not good, but it'll make Americans understand the Israeli position."
Exactly.
What about? And like I say, there's so much conflicting information out there. I don't have a conclusion, but
right. But
what about the Fox News Brit Hume and Cameron? What was his first name?
Carl Cameron. Carl.
Paul.
Carl Cameron. I think.
He was the head political correspondent for Fox News. Something Cameron, and he did an investigative report. The Brit Hume aired. It was a five-part report, and it covered the dancing Israelis. It covered these people who had been questioned by the FBI and then let go, and they went on Israeli TV. Of course, I don't speak Hebrew, so I can't quote them, but making what would seem to be very incriminating statements.
He also brought up about how they were able – the Israelis were able to spy on every phone call in the United States before 9/11.
Right. And Carl Cameron was his name, Carl Cameron.
Yeah, Carl.
Yeah, that the Israeli companies did all of the billing for the telecom companies. And so they had access to all of the records.
Yeah.
Want to hang on for some more?
No, I think I should let somebody else, but thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for being on. We'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website. The patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to the show. National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery, and that was some North Korean opera. I don't know which one. I don't know who the singer is. It's just something I recorded 30 years ago or more from Radio Pyongyang, from some remote location. It's all staticky. That's probably South Korean jamming. But it's nice music, and I think a little cultural exchange, if we could send over Dennis Rodman and some of his posse over there, and we got a North Korean opera company to tour around here. I think that would be a pretty good deal. And why are we so hung up on North Korea when you've got Israel? When you've got Israel, did they do 9/11? I'm not in a position to say they did 9/11. But is there a lot of really suspicious activity, a lot of suspicious information regarding an Israeli connection to 9/11? There certainly is. I, as an academic, more than a journalist, an academic is supposed to be very, very careful about reaching conclusions, is supposed to have a low tolerance to doubt. And so that's why I don't come down and say this is what happened. I can't say this is who was behind 9/11. I don't say this is how it happened. You know, was it a controlled demolition? Did they know that it was going to create a collapse of the buildings? Was that fortuitous from their point of view? I don't know these things. But in the long run, I mean, no matter, out of all of the plausible scenarios, pretty much all of the plausible scenarios point to you really can't trust our government. If they didn't have foreknowledge, they certainly had hind knowledge, and there was a lot of cover up. You can't trust the government. Seems to be a lot of Israeli fingerprints. Either way, you know, I'm suspicious of the government. I'm suspicious of the Israelis. And without 9/11, I would still be suspicious of the government, suspicious of the Israelis, because there's a lot to go on. There is a plenty of basis for those views without 9/11. So I have that high tolerance. I mean, I have low tolerance to doubt, but whatever the case may be, it's very strange. And so we're told we need to be alarmed at North Korea. We have to be ready for a war with North Korea or Iran. North Korea is back on. We've got sanctions against North Korea. President Trump slapped on more sanctions, and he put them back on the state sponsor of terrorism list. I'm not sure who they're supposedly sponsoring. They have trade relations with Iran. Maybe they have limited trade relations with Syria. Remember, they have very little foreign trade, although, you know, what trade they might have, some of it maybe would likely be military, but they have that. What about it? Israel? I mean, sponsor of terrorism? Weren't they a sponsor of ISIS? Don't we have, you know, TV reports by the British Independent of Israeli military hospitals along the Golan Heights treating Syrian fighters that they knew were anti-government fighters, anti-government, pretty much it either equals ISIS or Al-Qaeda. So, I mean, there's that. It's a terrorist state. It's a state that has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, that we're not allowed to cooperate with in terms of nuclear, and yet we do. We had cooperated with them in the 60s. The British sent over, maybe without prime minister or ministerial approval, but they sent over plutonium. The French built their experimental reactor in the Negev Desert. If anybody should be sanctioned, it's the Israelis, but they're not. Instead, you have Prime Minister Netanyahu is invited not once but twice to speak before a joint session of Congress. And meanwhile, you have President Trump just making insulting tweets about North Korea. Now, mind you, when he was running for president, he wasn't elected to be confrontational with North Korea. He was saying, look, you know, what are we doing over there? Why are we over there? The Japanese can defend themselves. The South Koreans can defend themselves. And, you know, if they have to, if they feel they need to develop nuclear weapons, then so be it. That was what he said during the campaign. People voted for him not to get hostile with North Korea. They voted for him because they wanted to disengage, to the extent they were thinking about foreign policy. I think most people voted for him to build a wall. And we're seeing that he's not allowed to rule. The number here, our lines are open. The number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Now, you know, Paul mentioned this about, you know, bringing us together. And this was something I mentioned the PBS NewsHour yesterday. This was Jeff Greenblatt's talking point, that President Trump needs to bring us together. We need to be brought together, not divided. And, of course, when he's saying that, yeah, he wants America to be brought together to the ADL, to the Jewish point of view. They want them to Jewish policies. They want to be us to be brought together in favor of replacement immigration. They want us to be brought together in favor of Israeli-centric foreign policy. They want us to be brought together in favor of demonizing white people and inciting black people to violence against whites and whomever else might be caught in the crossfire. That's how they want us to be brought together. Now, funny, when Jason Kessler, my guest from yesterday, when he tried to have an inclusive uniting rally in Charlottesburg, Unite the Right, they don't seem to see that uniting among people of a different point of view is a good thing. It's only uniting. It's only when we unite around what they want that they support it. So, I mean, obviously, this is not news to any of my listeners. So, it was very interesting to have Jeff Greenblatt and this representative of the mosque in Virginia on together. And, you know, we have been raised to look at Jews and Muslims as being these implacable enemies, that they're at each other's throats. And, of course, what we saw yesterday in that particular interview is they were 100% on board with each other. And the white convert was announcing all of the events that are they're putting together, these interfaith events with Jewish and Muslim leaders and evangelical Christians. And I know these interfaith events also have the mainstream liberal Protestants, you know, the type of people who you would have seen and who, frankly, were the core of the Black Lives Matter contingent in Charlottesville. They were centered around a church and this minister. You can see him on the car crash videos walking around, and he's got his kind of like a rainbow, not a scarf, whatever it is that they drape around their necks, and his was rainbow. That's your interfaith network, and so there's all of this cooperation between Muslims and Jews, and they're all trying to bring us together. They're trying to bring America together against the white founding stock, and that's what they're trying to do to replace us. You see that. You see that in Britain. I mean, the Jews play a leading role in the tsunami migration, this Muslim and African tsunami migration. They play a leading role. You have these Jewish groups that go over to provide food aid or to provide comfort to the refugees. Now, of course, this year, how many thousands of people have died crossing the Mediterranean? How many people have crossed? I mean, you've had hundreds of thousands of people who have crossed the Mediterranean trying to get to Europe. I think there's an attrition rate of maybe 2%. You know, there's a fair number of boats that capsize. You have, you know, 1 or 2% of the people who attempt to cross die. So you probably have had a couple thousand at least who have died in the Mediterranean amongst the hundreds of thousands who have gotten into the Mediterranean, then they get scooped up by these NGOs. I wonder who funds the NGOs. Just who could that be? And they get brought to Italy and Spain and Greece, and so they can make their way up to Paris, which is now a hellhole, to German cities, and to Calais, where they try to get into Britain, they get into Austria, they get into Sweden, and it's just massive. Now, you do have, so you have the massive crime that they're committing. And by the way, the idea that they're coming over because European society is aging and they need somebody to work and pay their pensions. Very, very, very few of these people have gotten jobs. And they're not bringing skills. They're an overwhelming burden on the social welfare infrastructure. And so these, and you have cases of older people who are in government housing and have had to leave their government housing to make room for refugees. So the idea that Europe's elderly demographics, aging demographics, are going to be in any way improved, that the situation for these elderly people are going to be improved by importing a young and extremely fertile but highly dysfunctional and dependent Muslim population or African population is just completely absurd. And it's, you're going to find that the social welfare systems are going to collapse. The safe streets are a thing of the past. Sweden was so safe 20 years ago. They did have a prime minister who was assassinated back in the 1980s. And I remember when it happened, you know, it was a shock to people because Sweden was so safe that the Swedish prime minister simply didn't have a bodyguard, that he was just walking home from a movie theater when he was shot. And I don't remember who shot him, but that was how Sweden was. It was so safe that the prime minister could walk around at night without a bodyguard. And now, of course, they have programs where if you want to go jogging, you can request police guards because going out at night jogging for just regular people is so dangerous that you might need it. You might want a police guard. So that's what's been going on. And so you're seeing this unity between Jews and Muslims or any other group. So I was asked recently about, you know, why don't Jews think that once Muslims become a majority that they're that the Jewish elite in Europe are going to have more trouble with the Muslims than they did with the Christians? And the answer would seem to be, A, I don't think they plan on anybody being a majority. I think they want to have just a very conflicting multicultural society with huge numbers of Muslims, but you'd have non-Muslims, you'd have Africans, you'd have Asians, East Asians. Maybe they're going to start trying to import Australian Aborigines or African pygmies because they're underrepresented and they need diversity. Need diversity, Shlomo. So why don't you start a breeding program for Aborigines and pygmies? Maybe throw in some Bushmen and Andaman Island Negritos. You throw those in because we need that diversity. So I think that's the plan. I think it's certainly the plan here. You're having it's not as if this is going to be a Hispanic majority country or Chinese majority country. I don't think they want to have a majority. I think the whole plan is to get Europeans down to a minority. They can be a despised minority, but minority status, they could be 40%, 30 to 40%, and then Hispanics 25%, and then a whole bunch of Asians, and they definitely pushing Muslims. They definitely want more Muslims, you know, have blacks. And now maybe in the long run their idea for American society is the same as the idea for Harvard, which I was reporting on earlier this week. And the breakdown of Harvard seems to be 25% Jewish, approximately. Those numbers aren't official, but over the years, that has been consistently what it's been in recent years until the numbers went crazy in the past few years. And the numbers are not reliable now, but I would assume that it's still the 25% that they've been showing for literally decades. 25% Jewish, now 22% Asian, that is official. 14.6% black, 11.2% Hispanic, 2.5% American Indian and Pacific Islander. What was it? 12% or so of foreign students. Whatever is left over for whites would probably be around 12%. For non-Jewish whites. Now, of course. I've seen other information that homosexuals at Harvard, at least the class that graduated in 2015, was supposedly over 13% gay. And now, come on, America's not 13% gay. And how many of those are coming at the expense of regular white people? We will be back after the break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And welcome back to the show. Back. If anybody knows what song that is, let me know. I'd like to know. I've got a bunch of North Korean music that I've recorded over the years, and I have no idea where it comes from. I know there are some good operas. There's The Girl Who Sold Flowers, The Sea of Blood, but I don't know what that particular music I was playing is from. Well, I do want to reiterate that Republic Broadcasting, this is so vital to our people. It really is. And, you know, it operates on a shoestring budget. It's very efficient. So if there's really no better use of your donation money than to donate to Republic Broadcasting, this is exactly what we need. And we could be shut down. I mean, We could be shut down because the finances come down. We could be shut down because the internet gets closed up. We need to be able to get our message out now while there's still an avenue, while we still have the means to fight back through our constitutional framework. We don't want to go to the trenches. We don't want to go to warfare and violence. We can still do this. We can do this through the constitutional framework, through getting people to wake up and understand. We're still the very significant majority. We were able to elect our preferred candidate for president. That's a big deal. We can still do this. It makes no sense not to support Republic Broadcasting. It makes no sense. You think of what you do in the day. Do you buy coffee from Starbucks? I doubt it. Do you have a cable subscription? Maybe you do. Is there anything worth it on that cable TV that you get 1,000 channels? Is there anything really worth watching? Anything better than what you get here on Republic Broadcasting? So I think it's very important. As we are on the last day of November, we have 1 month to go in this year. It's a year where we inaugurated Donald Trump, which I think is a big deal. I think he's kind of a hostage president. I don't think he's necessarily the best person for the job, but he was the only person who was able to get himself there, and we have to appreciate that. We've had all sorts of things going on. Think of when you see those year-in-review shows in the month of December, you know that the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally that was sponsored by my guest from yesterday, Jason Kessler, that is going to be up there. They're going to have their top 10 lists. Trump's inauguration will probably be number one. Would Charlottesville be number two on those top 10 lists of the big news stories of 2017? It may very well be. It's going to be up there. It's going to be on that list. We're making a big difference. And I will be, I already have nationalbugle.com, which I have not been able to put as much work into as I want. But that is going to become the site where nobody is going to go to the Drudge Report anymore. You're going to go to nationalbugle.com. That's where you're going to go. There's iowawatch.com. That's a good site. I'm hearing our swan song, but we will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.